we're going to get to the point where the robot is going to be the issue of consent. I think the issue comes later on or in interactions with human beings that stem from that interaction. Kind of like how violent pornography leads to unrealistic expectations of sex with real people.
Right. Yeah,
I think it would be a similar vein of unrealistic expectations from partners that could lead to violence, could just lead to awkward times and bad sex, but could lead to violence and like bad things for the person who maybe didn't have sex with a robot and for the person who did.
Yeah.
I think it could lead to, yeah, that kind of like misinformation and not knowing what's going on because you learned it different or you learned it in a way that's harmful.
Fair. Yeah. No, yeah. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
I think though that like the I would say that, I don't know, I want to put that on society, though. Like, I want to...
Yeah.
Like...
Why don't we teach people to ask for consent? Why don't we teach them about sex so they know how to do it? No, absolutely.
And, like the access to violent pornography and, like...
Yeah.
All of that kind of thing. Like, why did you want that in the first place?
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. You know, yes. Like, I feel like it goes back to more, like... That the person needs to be addressed, you know? Like, less than, like... The sex robot causes the problem. The person has a problem.
No, yeah. I agree. I just think that it's like aiding in that person thinking that that's normal, like normalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Like the objectification of women does not need another
tool to do it. Yeah, sure. Yeah. We don't need another outlet for just like very easy objectification where it literally is an object, even though it looks like a person.
No, fully.
Yeah.
Fully.
It's very complex.
And it's like the thing about it too is like it's so obviously objectification of women because like the robots
it's so direct.
They're much more women than there are male sex robots. Right.
Like, absolutely.
I have not even
and
seen
artificial
one in
intelligences,
research.
So many more.
The women's voice all the time.
Mostly women, almost always.
True. Very valid. Serious voice.
It's because women are seen as servile. I did research on it actually, yeah. It's not like if a man tells you how to get somewhere, you're like, stop telling me what to do. I don't want to listen to you, whether you're a man or a woman. Like, I don't want to listen to you.
Yeah.
Whereas if a woman, if a kind woman's gentle voice is telling you what to do, you're like, okay, yeah, she's just trying to help. Like, that's all. Because we assume women are always trying to help us and are trying to, whereas we're in competition with men.
That makes sense. I do not like listening to men.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not tell me where to go, what to do.
Don't ever tell me anything. Yeah, it's spooky.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's close out sex
for now.
For
we'll probably
moment.
Come back to it.
Yeah,
but it's because it's there's going to be new developments all the time, I would assume. So
oh, absolutely.
We'll come back to it for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, close that up. Sex robots. Who knows?
What who knows? Right God, yeah, who knows. Truly. We're back there. Yeah.
Yes. Polyamory, though?
Polyamory and open relationships. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's hit us with some knowledge.
Well, this like kind of started... Celine turned us on to an episode of a podcast called Media Indigenea, and the episode is called Remaking the Indigenous Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's numerous Indigenous scholars. The main one that I was like really interested in was Kim Tallbear, was talking about the way that... Basically, the way we consider relationships and like the nuclear family and marriage is all a settler construction, is all a colonialist construction, and its purpose is to build the state and make us individuals that follow its rules, essentially. And
right.
That it's all just for the purpose of making the state stronger and owning land.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kim is a queen.
And she's a queen. Look her up on Twitter. She's got some great tweets.
She's amazing.
She's so cool. She's the best.
I want to be her.
So after listening to that, I also listened to another podcast where they were talking about open relationships, but it was from a very cis straight woman perspective of how if you like even in films or in movies or in TV shows, how they talk about open relationships as like a way to make cheating okay. It's like we're in a monogamous relationship. You cheated. Now we have an open relationship so you can keep having sex with other people, but we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to actually set any boundaries on what our open relationship is. It becomes unhealthy a lot of the time
right.
when it's depicted in media.
Absolutely.
Right. But it can be a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just don't see it represented that way because, again, the system repeats itself back to us and says, you should want to be in a monogamous relationship, man and a woman, have 0.5 kids, buy a house. These are the things you should do to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we buy into it because it's everywhere. It's mm-hmm. all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, ideally open relationships are relationships in which a couple seeks out sexual relationships outside of their partnership but does not seek out romantic relationships outside of their partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually like you have a main partner that you maybe live with or that you are bound to, maybe by the law, maybe not, mm-hmm. and you have sex with whomever you want outside of that relationship. The important thing about these kind of relationships is that they have rules, regulations, kind of a set way that they work. Mm-hmm. It's all about communication, like with everything to do with sex. You just have to talk to the people you're having sex with, let them know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and it just leads to a lot less heartbreak.
Mm.
Polyamorous relationships are relationships in which both partners are free to seek out other romantic and sexual relationships, both including their partner and without them. So this can be like three person in a relationship situation, two people in a relationship, and each one has multiple relationships outside of it. It can be really anything you want it to be. Again, it's all about discussion and talking. It's all about transparency is really the big thing. Because if yeah. you're hiding things from your partner, that's no longer a healthy relationship.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
If you feel the need to hide it, it's not open. It's you're hiding you're it. Cheating. It's closed. Right. Yeah. You're cheating yeah. on them.
You can still be cheating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like there's kind of different ways to go about it too, because if you're choosing to change the status of your relationship from a monogamous one to a polyamorous one, you can totally feel free to do that if you think that's what you want. But if you're doing it out of fear of your partner mm-hmm. leaving you because you think they're cheating on you or you think they want something else, mm-hmm. that's not going to fix it. And that's also not a polyamorous relationship.
Right.
Because you don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fully.
But again, if you're like, well, you know, I think I actually would really benefit from this. I think we would both benefit from this. And mm-hmm. I think this is a healthy thing. And you have a discussion about it. Feel free. You can also go into a relationship expecting to be polyamorous and like let your partner know. That's totally fine and totally valid. You don't have to like start out monogamous and then expand or like become kinky. People seem to think it's kinky.
Absolutely.
That you suddenly become it's bored. So basically, you become bored with your yeah. monogamous relationship and you're like, let me try something else. Like, it doesn't have to be that. You can start off with the idea that, yeah, no, I think multiple partnerships is the way I would like to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that people identify as being poly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in, that's always what they want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel personally that it would be dependent on a situation for me or like a phase in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I do feel like it's it comes across right now as like trendy amongst young people right. like in their 20s mm-hmm. 30s right now
yes
to be polyamorous, just like you said, like mm-hmm. identifying as polyamorous, whereas yes. like it kind of I think I agree with you and I'm kind of putting words in your mouth right now, but it comes out of the relationship that you're in. Like, every relationship is different. Mm, so if your partner yeah. is not polyamorous and you are, your relationship needs to adjust for both of you to be comfortable and trusting and happy in it.
Right.
Right? Like, it's...
Yeah, not that I've ever been in any kind of successful polyamorous situation, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about it, especially Kim Talbert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is Indigenous and she talks about, like, decolonization and... decolonizing your love and your sex
yeah
and how difficult it is for Native people to do that because of like basically settler colonialism
yeah
and how it's affected our relationships and our family structures
absolutely
mm-hmm. and especially with like state intervention in family relationships
yes
and yeah highly recommend that podcast
it's mm-hmm. really good it's really interesting
so good
yeah
I love her so much
true I really like a point that she made about having like a relationship that the state would not recognize mm-hmm. as a relationship.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually snatched that and used it yesterday. Someone had asked me if I was, they were like, are you seeing anybody? And I was like, I don't know that what I'm doing is what the state would consider dating, right. but I yeah. am involved with people.
Yeah.
So, like, and it makes full sense, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think it through, like,
yeah,
our relationships are currently defined by what the government
marital status
yeah calls yeah. a relationship
yep
mm-hmm.
whereas like we have tons of relationships and they're all very diverse and various things take place in them
and have value in different ways yeah. depending on yeah, who you fully. are,
and mm-hmm. you can have polyamorous relationships without sex just like you can mm-hmm. have relationships with people without sex
exactly
yeah. so sex isn't necessarily a determining factor
totally
Yeah. It's true. And I do feel that a lot of people, I think that just comes back to like the colonial ideas of relationships mm-hmm. and whatnot. But a lot of what we identify as two people being in a relationship is just two people who are having sex with each other, and mm-hmm. we all know it.
Yes.
And generally for the purpose of procreating.
Yeah, yes. That too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, we're fed this idea that we get security in yes. another person. So I think people...
We get wholeness.
Yeah, so yeah. I think people think of being polyamorous as, like, not safe or, like, on unstable ground.
I heard someone describe it as people think love is divided, but it's multiplied. So yes. I think if you have multiple partners, you're dividing the love between seven people or three people instead of just one, where you should be directing all of it. But it's multiplied. You're giving love to a bunch of different people in a bunch of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? I think they said that on the... What is that show? The one with the... Polygamy, the guy with all the wives.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know what you're
Cody
talking about.
Cody with his wives.
What is it called?
I'm concerned now.
Isn't it called Sister Wives?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I heard this from noted non-binary icon and polyamorous person Bethany C. Myers, who is not a polygamist. That's okay. where I took
Thank
that
you.
From.
Thank you for that. Because I
Google
sure
them.
They
they're great.
That.
They created an exercise program that's incredible called the Become Project. But anyway, no, it's from a person who I'm like, no, I trust your opinions on polyamory. You are in a poly relationship.
Yeah.
And you're a chill person.
And I think that happens too, is that people co-opt the
absolutely
the goodness of a. Mm-hmm. of a thing and just put it on there.
Well, people use like open relationships to cheat instead of using them to like explore relationships and how they work and how maybe pairing up isn't the only way to have a relationship.
Yeah, fully.
Big facts.
Yeah.
And like not the only way to raise a child too.
At all.
If you intend to. Like that was another thing that Kim Talbert had said about the way that we raise children and like the difference between like mm-hmm. the white family raising mm-hmm. children versus a native family raising mm-hmm. children, and like how many more I would say female presences mm-hmm. are in the life of a child versus like mm-hmm. in like the white family. It's like the one, and then the man is just so important, almighty, owns the child.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that just the child rearing also is something that we as a society could take a look at and say, hey, we're not really doing a good job.
Exactly. Yeah.
We could change that up a bit.
We could change it and maybe make it better.
Maybe more influences.
Yeah, it's not
one couple is the best.
Is natural, is the way it's supposed to be, is ludicrous.
Yeah. And like I even think too, like to like my friends' families growing up and whatnot, and like how many of my friends were kind of raised by their grandparents or like their aunts and uncles. And like, but we still have this idea in our heads of like, but mom and dad
are the only ones
who would have understood you, got you,
raised you.
There's
a very good book called The Life Stages of Native Women by Kim Campbell, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about Native family structure. That's really good. Highly recommend.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let that recommendation sit with you guys and
girls.
Take us out.
See you next week. Send us an email. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter.
Please do.
It's been fun. This has been Having Sex With on 102.7 CILU, the radio. Bye.
Bye.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Signal Resources Limited, Thunder Bay's locally owned and operated audio-visual professionals. Contact them about your next multimedia event or installation at 807-475-9341 or at signalresources.com. the Thunder Bay Community Auditorium. Find them at tbca.com to purchase tickets and find out all of the details on their upcoming events. Vox Popular Media Arts Festival, located inside Trinity Hall at 310 Park Avenue. Join the fun every September for the annual Media Arts Fest, entering its 16th year in 2020.
good evening, cover lovers, and welcome to another edition of Cover to Cover here on CILU Radio 102.7 FM and on the web at luradio.ca. I am your host, Robin DeProfitis, and we are here to do what we do every week, and that's explore the art of the cover song. Starting us off tonight, a song that's sort of become my favorite cover the last little bit. It's the Acorn and his sort of electrode-up version of Fleetwood Mac's Little Lies. Gets me into a nice groove, and I can sort of flip it on at any moment and be glad that I did. We have so much music tonight and not enough time. I have something from The Wooden Sky, some Southern Culture on the Skids, and we're going to end with something from The Innocence Mission by Jonathan Ink. Let's get down to it. Here is Dolly Parton performing A Little Thing by Brandi Carlile.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I've climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue. I've crossed all the lines and I broke all the rules, but baby, because even when I was flat broke, well, you made me feel like a million bucks. You do. And I was made for you.
tonight. The light of love is in your eyes. Will you still love me tomorrow? Is this a lasting treasure or just a moment?
Had this dream where I relished the fray and the screaming filled my head all day. It was as though I'd been spit here, settled in into the pocket of a lighthouse. Some rocky socket off the coast of France, dear. One afternoon, 4,000 men died in the water here, and 500 more madly as parasites might. Your blood I was in a lifeboat designed for 10 only. Anything that's systematic get you hated. It's not a deal, a test, or a love of something faded. action was quick, the crew was picked in order. Those left in the water were kicked off our pant legs, and we headed for home. Out there most days and nights, but only a fool would complain. Anyway, Susan, if you like, our conversation is as faint a sound in my memory as those fingernails scratching on my heart.
Acorn taking us to the highs, and then Justin Rutledge taking us to the lows. His take of Tragically Hip's Nautical Disaster. One of the first covers we usually saw. Now we're seeing a lot more just because Gord Downie with his cancer. But before that, it was just him and Sarah Pauly with a take of Courage. We're seeing a lot more. You know, Rosetta, Hey Rosetta did one. And now we're going to see probably, I'm sensing a tribute album within the next year and a half. Before that, we had Amy Winehouse with Carole King's Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And then Dolly Parton with Brandi Carlile's The Story. That's off a War Child Benefit album. If you like that track, check it out, because it goes to a good cause. Let's get back to it. Let's pick up the pace. Here is Sophie Ellis Baxter with Something by the Arcade Fire.
Sleeping is underneath the covers, hiding from your brothers, underneath the covers. Come on, hide your lovers, underneath the covers. We'll be right back.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Campus Tech, located in the tunnels across from LUSU at Lakehead University. They are the only Apple-authorized service provider in northwestern Ontario. They also offer educational pricing on dozens of items, as well as a wide selection of computer and gaming accessories. Stop in and chat, or check out stock and order online at campustech.ca. Magnus Theatre, bringing a revolutionary season of live theatre to northwestern Ontario. Get your 2019-2020 tickets by visiting magnustheatre.com. The Argus, Lakehead University's student newspaper. Available on Wednesdays during the school year, around campus, around the city, or online at theargus.ca.
Southern culture on the skids, little rockabilly flair to Joe South's 70s classic, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, which would fit right next to a cover of Harper Valley PTA. You're listening to Cover to Cover here on CILU Radio 102.7 FM and on the web at luradio.ca. Before the break, we heard from Sophie Ellis-Baxter with her amazing take of Arcade Fire's Lies, Rebellion. Then we had a great, great, great cover, my favorite cover of the Wooden Skies, or the Wooden Sky performing American Girl. Just some raw. If you ever get a chance to see them live and hear the song, it's great. We have some Ariel Pink this half hour, some Katie B, and we end with some Jonathan Ink. Let's get back to it. Here is the Sundays with a 90s goodie.
Turn her living. love. Dreaming in my soul, favor eyes on me. Reacting outside of a riot, and I got a feeling that I wouldn't like her. Another baseline, my mind of this mind, then again, I'm never gonna stop and say, what? Will I really be another little bit of rocket science too? Am I gonna meet a woman as a better in a state of a lamp, but I can't be vibing when you're down on the ground like a zombie?
The Skints helping us move our feet with KDB's On a Mission. Before that, Ariel Pink, Haunted Graffiti with Donnie and Joe Emerson's Baby, a little underground 70s classic that he was rescued. And we started off that set with the Sundays performing the Rolling Stones' Wild Horses. Sundays known for that and their original Here's Where the Story Ends. I have one set left, then I am out and Aaron's in. We have Rogue Wave with Depeche Mode's Shake the Machine. And we end with some Jonathan Ink with Unison Missions, The Lakes of Canada. Check out the podcast and the playlist at luradio.ca. Have a good week, everybody. Here is Rogue Wave.